This is Fighting Bob Radio. I'm Eric Shubring with the founder of FightingBob.com, Fighting Bob Festival, and more, Ed Garvey. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Eric.
Harvey Wasserman, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, this is Eric Shubring calling from Fighting Bob Radio. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing very well. Harvey, Ed Garvey is on of Fighting Bob. I know that you are familiar with each other. I can recall a conversation with the two of you several years ago, and Ed is, I'm sure he will now, speaking enthusiastically about the good work that you do.
Thank you.
For sure.
Ed? Yes. Harvey, Ed initiated, said getting a hold of you would be a great thing to bring to Fighting Bob Radio. Ed has been following, as not enough people have, what's been happening at Fukushima.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Well, is it correct that they've never done this before? This is really
Here's what's happening. You have spent fuel rods, very, very radioactive fuel rods, that had been pulled out of the Unit 4 just prior to the earthquake and tsunami. They were doing an inspection. And so whereas Units 1, 2, and 3 melted down and then exploded, Unit 4, the core was not in there. And so there was an explosion in Unit 4, and the building was weakened, and the fuel pool damaged and all that. But and there was a fire in the fuel pool, which indicates that they lost coolant. And now they have to bring down these rods. They're 100 feet in the air. And God forbid if an earthquake hits and knocks them down, they can lose coolant. And if they lose coolant, huge quantities of radiation will be released. So this has never been done before because we've never been in a situation where large numbers of the fuel rods in a spent fuel pool have been damaged. And we don't know really the status of these damaged fuel rods. We don't know if they're going to be, if they can actually be brought down. They've started, Tokyo Electric Power has started, and they've brought down some fuel rods that were not in the reactor. In other words, there were some fresh fuel rods that never got radiated, and that's been pretty easy. But when they get to the tough stuff, we don't really know that they're going to be able to do this. And we're going to have to watch it.
Who's advising them?
This was a General Electric reactor. These reactors, about half the reactors in the world, including half in the United States, are General Electric reactors. With this insane design. And so usually what happens is that the process is computerized. If you assume that the rods are in decent shape, then they can be brought down with a computer-operated operation. But in this case, it's going to have to be done manually. You're going to have people there who are going to operate the cranes, sort of like you operate one of those scoop things in an amusement park where you drop it in and try and pull out a prize. And they're going to have six guys, I think 36, crews of 36 with two guys at a time over a 24-hour day. It was described in the New York Times that, you know, we don't know what really is happening there because it's all very being carefully guarded by the Japanese and the power company.
Harvey,
I'm sure that General Electric is trying to cover it up.
Well, General Electric, I'm not sure they're even involved at this point. They may have some advisors there, but this is the province of a private utility company, the Tokyo Electric Power, with an unbroken record of dishonesty and cover-up. And, you know, if they screw this up, and the odds are very, very high that they will, massive quantities of radiation could be released into the atmosphere, and it will come to California within 4 days, 4 or 5 days. It's happened already at the beginning of the accident. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, a terrifying situation. And, of course, the global media, the corporate media, is absolutely not covering it at all.
You know, it's barely getting covered at all. Bill Moyers had as a guest on his program this past week, Dr. Jill Stein and Margaret Flowers. They are among numbers of people who've been signing petitions and asking for more support with the idea of withdrawing the control of this so-called hope for cleanup of Fukushima nuclear power plant from this private company and get it into the hands of, well, others, perhaps the United Nations, an international group to ensure that that the best possible outcome happens, rather than, as you've described, TEPCO, you know, they've not been doing well and lying about what's happening at that plant. Given this massive threat, not just to Japan, but to all the way to the West Coast, it is that serious, then, isn't it?
It's I hate to say use this word, but it's actually on an apocalyptic level. If we have more explosions at Fukushima, if these fuel rods catch fire again, if an earthquake hits and brings them down to the ground, the amounts of radiation released would be gargantuan. It's been estimated by a nuclear industry nuclear institute in Kyoto, Japan, that the fuel rods unit 4 contained 14,000 times as much cesium as was released at Hiroshima. And we've already had estimates of radiation releases from Fukushima 30 times as great as was released at Hiroshima. The media, the corporate media, simply will not deal with the realities of this situation. We have 300 tons of radioactive water pouring into the Pacific Ocean every day. That radiation is already. What's that?
Is there a danger that the entire ocean is going to become radioactive?
It's a certainty. I mean, the radiation's already been registered, detected off the coast of Alaska. It will come to the west coast of the United States next year by 2014. And there's no stop. There's no end in sight. You have three radioactive cores that essentially they don't know where they are, water pouring down from the mountains through the site. And this is all being managed by a private corporation, a for-profit corporation. It has no real financial incentive to clean the place up. There's no knowledge about cleaning it up. I've been in the anti-nuclear movement for 40 years. Nobody ever talked about a triple meltdown with four explosions. That would have been considered not credible. If you'd have given a speech and said, well, we have to worry about four explosions and three meltdowns, people would have said you're not credible and yelled at you for going too far. And now it's happened. So, now they're yelling at us for being concerned about the fate of the Pacific Ocean. There's no dilution factor here. These isotopes stay radioactive and dangerous forever. Cesium, strontium, iodine, tritium, you name it, it's out there. And it's lethal stuff. And it doesn't take much to cause a problem, especially when you have a body of water that's already polluted. And, the last thing you want to do is add yet another carcinogen to what's already a toxic situation.
What's the best thing that we could do at this point?
Well, we have a petition to have a global body take over at Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the website I edit is nukefree.org, nukefree.org. And I post a continual stream of articles there. People can go there and find the petition to sign asking for a global takeover at Fukushima. We have to be calling our senators and congresspeople and the media, for God's sakes, to cover this. Because this
is there any leadership in the legislature?
No. And in fact, the Japanese government is about to pass a state secrets act that will make it much more difficult to get information about Fukushima. This is a really, really bad situation. And, there's an article in the New York Times that cited one of my articles, which is posted at Nuke Free and around the Internet, warning of an apocalyptic situation, and the Times, of course, makes fun of it. says, well, you don't have to worry. The TEPCO can handle the bring down of the fuel. TEPCO can't handle the bring down of the fuel. I'd be astounded. I mean, thrilled, but astounded to hear that they can get all these fuel rods down. Some of them must be bent or swollen or embrittled or corroded. When this first happened, they had to pour seawater into the spent fuel pool. And this is not something you want to be doing. This salt water is very corrosive, and it wasn't designed for seawater. So, you know, all we can do is keep ourselves informed, inform as many people as we possibly can, pass on these emails, these articles, and lobby the media, call the Japanese government and the legislatures. But we're in a real difficult situation here. We have no control.
I guess so.
We delivered 150,000 petition signatures to the UN calling for a global takeover at Fukushima. We've yet to get a response. And one of the problems is that the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is the nuclear body at the UN, is pro-nuclear. Their band-aid is spread nuclear power, and then they have control.
This situation is so dramatic, that it would seem to me that your labels ought to be dropped and every effort should be made to gain some control. I mean, the idea that one corporation is going to make the difference is ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're a weak corporation. They don't have the expertise. You know, if anybody was going to be in charge of this place, it should be an engineering firm, not a utility company. But even at that, we're in totally new territory here. They're right now, as I said, they're bringing down the fuel rods that were not irradiated. When they get to the ones that are irradiated, then we're in serious trouble. I've posted at nukefree.org a video made by a wonderful engineer named Arnie Gunderson. And Arnie is the only one who's really from the engineering community who's been calling this situation out. And, it's terrifying. If you know anything about this, the radiation... Well, all you have to remember about radiation is that in the 1950s, a British doctor named Alice Stewart was doing a study of childhood leukemia, and she looked at many different causes for childhood leukemia, and the one that finally jumped out was X-ray. Women who were X-rayed while pregnant, their offspring had a doubled childhood leukemia rate, and it was ascertained that there's really no safe dose of radiation. Because the embryo and the fetus in utero is infinitely sensitive to radiation, there is no number, even the pro-nuclear community cannot give you a number of a radiation dose, REMS, RADs, Becquerels, Sieverts, whatever they want to come up with, that is safe. And so any radiation that's pouring into the atmosphere from Fukushima, and it's a lot, it's a tremendous amount, is going to have an impact. And, we're already talking about 100 times more radiation from Fukushima than was released at Chernobyl, which decimated the youth populations of Belarus and Ukraine. And there are studies that indicate already that radiation coming from Fukushima has already harmed people in the United States. Two researchers, Joe Mangano and Dr. Jeanette Sherman, and they're just dumping this stuff in the ocean and spewing it out into the atmosphere. And we had four explosions there. It's really, really bad. And
I hate to pick on adolescents, but it sometimes, when we observe the denial that exists among so many about these existential threats, whether it's climate change or nuclear holocaust or the nuclear contamination of the whole Pacific and the illnesses that will follow, we behave somewhat like adolescents, believing that we're going to live forever.
Yeah, it's insane. And then they talk about, they like to compare it, about anything pretty much. They say, well, it's the equivalent of the radiation you get flying from New York to California. Well, pregnant women should not be flying. You know, this is known. The airlines have, for other reasons as well, but the airlines have stopped allowing stewardesses who are pregnant to fly. And you don't, if your wife or sister or child is pregnant, they should not be flying. And they certainly should not be getting x-rays. That's the key here. Anybody tells you, well, it's it's not a significant amount of radiation. All radiation is significant. And if they say that it's not significant, say, tell them that, ask them if their wife or their daughter, or their friends, have been x-rayed while pregnant. You know, a medical doctor will be sued, for x-raying a pregnant woman now. After decades and decades. Oh, absolutely. You cannot x-ray a pregnant woman. That's why we have sonograms and MRIs and alternative methods, because the embryo and the fetus are infinitely sensitive. But this is, you know, it's very hard now. I've been doing this for 40 years. It's hard now to speak in public about Fukushima because it's so depressing. The only good thing that's come from Fukushima is that the other 50 reactors in Japan are shut, and hopefully will stay shut.
How does that instruct us, Harvey, that all of the nuclear power plants in Japan are shut, and yet there is a movement by some here in this country to build more nuclear power plants because we need them, and yet a country which has clearly been dependent upon for a huge amount of its electricity, nuclear plants, has closed theirs?
Well, it's because of the public has risen up. And, you know, here in the United States, the nuclear industry has more money than God, and they just come at it year after year after year. You know, this nuclear renaissance is ridiculous, and it failed. I mean, you know, Kewaunee went down. Hopefully the two at Point Beach will go down for economic reasons because it's too expensive. They can't compete. Now they're talking about building a new generation of reactors. It's ridiculous. Solar, wind, tidal, geothermal, ocean thermal, biofuels, increased efficiency, conservation, all the answers are there. That's the way Germany is going. Iceland, Denmark, this is the technology of the future is renewables. I wrote a book called Solartopia about a green-powered Earth. It's very, very easy to do. I mean, if we shut down all the fossil nuclear plants around the world and magically installed currently available technology of renewables and efficiency and conservation, the lights wouldn't blink. We have the technology to do it. The utility industry and the corporations are terrified because it's decentralized. The people can control their own energy source with solar and wind and these other renewable sources. And it takes away corporate control. But it's physically, it's doable. It's been doable. And so these people are talking about new generation reactors. It'll never happen. There's no economics for it. What will happen is Bill Gates and some other billionaires will throw a few $100 million at it, and they'll get all excited, and then they'll have problems, and it'll be years behind schedule and billions over budget. And meanwhile, they're already priced out by renewables, and it's just a waste of time and money. The real question is, are we going to shut the operating reactors? Are we going to get the two at Point Beach shut down? Are we going to get the ones in Chicago? The two at Indian Point in New York are within 50 miles of New York City. And what's really disturbing is that Fukushima is not a worst-case scenario. I mean, yes, they had an earthquake and a tsunami, and that's rare, but the fact is that there are many reactors in the world that are in a similar situation, including two in California at Diablo Canyon. The worst-case scenario is a major earthquake happens and turns the reactors to rubble. If the earthquake that caused the tsunami at Fukushima had hit, that earthquake, the epicenter was 120 kilometers away, if it had been 20 kilometers away or 2 kilometers from Fukushima, that place would be just a pile of radioactive rubble. There'd be absolutely nothing that could be done about it. And it'd just be sitting there irradiating the Pacific and pouring radiation into the atmosphere. And that could happen. That could be happening now to any one of 400 reactors in the world. And that's the real situation. We have to get these reactors shut down as quickly as possible.
So they're trying to remove the radioactive rods from this. I've heard it described, Harvey, as if trying to remove cigarettes from a crushed cigarette pack without breaking any of them. That trying to pull these out of there. And then, of course, the question is, then what? I mean, they have to be taken and removed to some other place. How is this explosive potential here?
Well, there's argument about that, but in a worst-case scenario, yes. If the fuel rods lost their coolant and were somehow, God forbid, lost, were no longer surrounded by water, the fuel rods are clad in something called zirconium alloy, which is very, very flammable and burns very hot. And if they're exposed to air, as they were for a time being after the accident in Unit 4, they will catch fire, and if they start to implode and sort of melt into each other, the fuel rods have more than enough radioactive activity to have a fission explosion. Now, that's a long shot, but it is definitely a physical possibility. Even if they don't explode, all they have to do is burn, and the radiation released into the atmosphere would be apocalyptic. It would be horribly lethal to all over the planet. And this could happen very easily. We TEPCO put out a cute little animated version of the bring down of the fuel, and it all presumes that the things are in order and that the fuel rods are intact, and that they show a nice pristine fuel pool, which is in fact full of debris, and there's no reality to the thing whatsoever. It's like the Disney version of Pocahontas, for God's sake. And Arne Gundersen is the engineer I mentioned, and he's the one who's talked about the crushed cigarettes. And he was in the business of manufacturing fuel assemblies, so he certainly knows what he's talking about. And
We have the release of water into the Pacific. The potential worst case is fire and explosion, and in between something.
There's 11,000 fuel rods at least on the site. We don't really know how many fuel rods there are on the site as a whole. There's one a pool that's on the ground, thankfully, that has at least 6,000 rods in it. We don't know where the three cores are and how hot they may be. They're talking about going and finding the lost cores in the year 2020. That's how bad it is.
Suppose they find them. What do they do with them?
You got me. we only hope that they haven't hit the aquifer, and that they have and permanently contaminated all the water there. But that, the odds against that are pretty low. So it's just, like I say, it's not even a worst case scenario. And so I've never been more frightened. I mean, I've been doing this for 40 years. This is absolutely terrifying. I have a grandson in Los Angeles. I don't know now if I'll be able to bring him to the beach because, it's that bad in California. There were 15 tuna that were caught and tested for radiation off the coast of California, and all 15 of them had radiation in Fukushima. We think of it. I mean, we've already lost the Gulf of Mexico, so we've got some experience with it. And now we see this radiation pouring into the Pacific. There's no prospect for stopping the pouring of this radiation into the Pacific. There's no way been put forward that they're going to do it. Now, Arne Gundersen proposed very early that they dig a big trench between the mountains and the reactor site to divert the water away from the reactor site. And he was told they didn't have enough money to do it.
Oh my.
I mean, come on. This is what happens when you're a private corporation.
This is what happens when commercial interests are involved, not the people's.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't have been. I was in Japan in the mid-70s, and I marched and spoke to anti-nuclear groups. And Fukushima was talked about. In fact, I wrote an article for the Progressive magazine that was published in 1977 that talked about Fukushima. Everybody was talking about Fukushima. All the reactors in Japan are on earthquake faults, and most of them are in tsunami zones. We already had, I think it was 2005, an earthquake that hit Kashiwazaki, another reactor site, 7 reactors, and a number of them were damaged.
Hmm.
We've had two earthquakes.
I'm sorry, we only have a couple of minutes remaining. I want to make sure that our listeners understand and know where to go to join in that petition that 150,000 have already signed, delivered, to try to get a world body taking care of this rather than this for-profit company.
Okay, it's at nukefree.org, nukefree.org, and it links to MoveOn. It's a MoveOn petition, and we're just about at 120,000 on this one, and Roots Action had a 40,000. Green Shadow Cabinet has followed up. I mean, there are people out there. We're still petitioning the UN, but we don't want the International Atomic Energy Agency. It's really, we need an independent body comprised of the world's best engineers and scientists to take over there. And I do believe it will happen. The TEPCO cannot deal with this. The Japanese can't deal with this. This is beyond the capabilities of any single government and certainly beyond the IAEA. So, but if you want to keep informed, I post articles every day. I've posted over 2,000 articles on Fukushima since the accident 2.5 years ago, and it's at nukefree.org, N-U-K-E-F-R-E-E.org. And if people in Wisconsin really want to deal with this, the best thing to do is to shut Point Beach and get those reactors shut. We lucked out at Kewaunee. It was a great thing that they shut, and the other two need to be shut, and then, put Aaron Rodgers back on the field, and we'll be in good shape.
Well, Harvey,
I'm a part owner of the Green Bay Packers, I actually share, so I'm a big Packers fan. And I just Point Beach, which is near Green Bay, really needs to be shut. And if people are feeling frustrated and depressed, take all this knowledge about Fukushima, transpose it. You're not going to have a tsunami, obviously, at Point Beach. We could have an earthquake, and they could lose control of that thing. That's the thing to do, and to get wind power and renewables installed in Wisconsin as quickly as possible.
Excellent. Harvey Wasserman, thank you very much.
Harvey, thank you very, very much. You scared the hell out
of me. Well, thank you. I'm glad you called. Call me anytime, and do see me at nukefree.org.
Excellent.
Very good. Thank you.
Wonderful. Take care.
Ed, thank you. Harvey Wasserman, 30 years involved in fighting nuclear power. And again, the website there, nukefree.org. I'm Eric Shubring. You've been listening to Fighting Bob Radio. Be well.